A couple more announcements that I was asked to make to you. Number one is that Doug Wetmore has brought a whole lot of tapes back there, and they're free for the taking. Doug Wetmore's Firefighters for Christ. And I just heard something interesting. Doug is putting out a number of tapes per month, him and that ministry. I understand it's in the area of 25,000 per month now. And they're going out all over the world. And these tapes, I understand, are going far as the mainland of China now. They're in the mainland of China, these tapes are. So they're not only here in the United States, but they're being utilized all over the world, these tapes are. It's a tremendous ministry, and we're really excited about that. And so Doug has brought these tapes for us, and they're free for the asking. Just take, help yourself and pass them around when you get finished with them. Don't put them away in your closet like so many people do, and that's where they end up at. Take them and give them around. Pass them around.
I will take the next bunch to China if you want.
I bet you would. Yeah, I bet you would. Okay, and one other thing, too, is that there is a charge for this breakfast. It's $4.50, and so be sure and remember to take... I don't know what to do with the money. Just bring it up here, and we'll take care of it for you. But it's $4.50 a person. And so before you leave today, you know, remember that, because otherwise I'll have to pick up the bill, I'm sure. And I've only got $4.85. And don't forget about these nice little waitresses, either. I know, but my wife was a waitress for a long time. She says, one thing about those Christians I couldn't stand, she said, they'd always come in and never leave a tip. They'd leave this little tract that says, this is your tip. And it would be the plan of salvation. She says, you know, that's what I thought about Christians for many years. So, remember that, okay? Okay, and I'd like to introduce to you now Kirk Scott. Now, Kirk is with the Westminster Fire Department, for those of you who don't know who he is. And he's been over there for 3 years. He was in the bureau for some time, and now he's on the floor in suppression. Kirk graduated from Santa Ana College, and he was one of the youngest people to ever go through the Recruit Academy. And he was going through at the age of 19 years old when people were going through at 27, 28 years old that were experienced firemen on lateral transfers, and he did really well. He came out, I think, number one in his class, as a matter of fact. So he's doing really good, and he's 23 years old, and he's probably on his way to the top two. So I'll give you a Kirk Scott.
Thanks, Gary. My walk out, first of all, I was asked to do this because I couldn't find anybody else to do it. No. But, you know, I was asked to give my testimony, and I had to look at first, what exactly is a testimony? It's a difference between, you know, night and day, what it's like before my walk with Christ and what it has been since. And a big difference. You know, we all started out in the world. I understand most everybody here is a Christian. We all started out in the same place, you know, on the dark side, you know, starting out in the pits. And, you know, I'd been there for a while. I'd been in the streets and stuff. Nothing really super bad. Never been arrested or anything like that. Should have been. But going through high school, I got pretty much whatever I wanted just through my own drive, that self-seeking drive again. And time come to graduating, and I decided, well, heck, I might as well become a fireman. You know, somebody's got to do the job, you know. And it was a really neat job, and I just, that became my goal. I was obsessed with becoming a fireman. That was my God. That was my number one goal. I mean, I thought, as soon as I get that, you know, it's all mine. The world's mine. I got it by the tail, you know. But I had to work. For it. Just show you how the events that leading up to it and me getting hired was really something the Lord did work at. And this was even before I had known Him, even before I accepted Christ. I got out of high school. I thought, well, shoot, why not go for it? So I did. I went out and applied to get in the academy. I was too young. I was 18 years old. You know, nobody's going to hire anybody that young. And went through the first Saturday academy that there was. It was every Saturday for 37 weeks, 9 months. And I was either going to school, regular fire science classes, going to school, working in the academy almost every day for those 9 months. And the first day of the academy, there were 37 people in it. By the time the 9 months was over, I was one of 15 that graduated. The attrition rate was just super. And I was competing, like you were saying, with guys that were, you know, 27, 28 years old, had families, had already been firemen. And I got hired at another city, and they were just being put through it, you know, hands down. And I had no experience whatsoever, no familiarity with the fire service at all. So I was, the competition was pretty tough. And by the time I graduated, it was in June, I was still working and everything. And I got injured. I was messing around. I got injured. I had to quit my job. And in order to get hired at the Westminster, which I had taken a test for, the only way they could pick me up was through CETA. And that you had to be unemployed for 30 days. And I was unemployed like for 40 days. So it just fit in there just perfect. I went into an interview with the chief, just walked in, and he wanted another talk with me, so we sat down and had a little talk. Nothing super. He just said, well, it's yours if you want it. So, of course, I said, yeah. You know, this is my whole dream. This is my mainstay. This is all I ever wanted. So here I am. You know, I've attained it. Where am I? What am I looking for now? I had nowhere to go, nowhere to turn. I was what my idol was. I was what I wanted to be. And that's pretty empty looking forward when you've already got it. And that's when I really started looking. That's when I met some of the Christians on the fire department. I was in the Bureau for a year, which is a separate entity of the fire department, especially in Westminster. But some of the tapes that had come out, Doug was sending over, and I was with a couple of Christians that were in there, and it was kind of funny because they weren't laughing at my dirty jokes, and they weren't, you know, they didn't want to take part of anything like that, which was really a witness. And like I say, through the tapes that I've gotten from Doug and some of the other people, I'd listen to them, and I was really started thinking, I go, there really must be something to this. I mean, here I am, you know, I've already attained what I wanted, and I'm looking, I'm searching, I'm looking for something that I can latch on to, that I can really hold on to, that's firm, that's solid, that's unwavering, that won't change. And it was right in front of me all the time. It was Jesus Christ. And the thing about these tapes, too, is that after I accepted the Lord, it wasn't much further beyond that, but there's just something about the tapes. That they go around the horn, like after I accepted the Lord, I'd pass them out to one person, and it'd like go through 30 or 40 people and come back to me, and I'd just barely even know this person over here, and they'd say, well, you know, well, here's this tape. I'd go, what are you talking about? I never gave you a tape, you know? It was just really interesting, the routes that they take. Just like, you know, if these walls could talk, if these tapes could talk to the people who they've talked to, I just think it'd be really neat to think about that sometime. But, through these tapes and just through the Christian emphasis and the Christian atmosphere at work, I really started thinking. Some of the guys were asked me to church, and it ended up that I did go. I went down at Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa. And I went there the first night. It was a Thursday night Bible study, and Chuck Smith was talking. And I was talking about what I thought God was. He was talking directly to me. It was like, I thought God was mostly in nature. That's how I saw it. You know, the birds, the trees, and all that. The beauty. But that's just what he can do. That is his creation. It's like, you don't worship the creation, you worship the creator. Who did it? Who made it? It's like, you know, like this breakfast we had, you know, man, this is a neat omelet. You're just beautiful. You know, you think, go and thank the cook, you know. He's the one who did it. But, so seeing that, like, kind of popped my bubble. It was just a really eye-opening experience to knowing that, hey, yeah, why not go ahead to the top? Why not go to the true source and just really worship the Creator? And so, in other words, I had to acknowledge God, which was kind of hard for me at first because here I am, you know, I'm a fireman and all this stuff is what I wanted to be. So I had to humble myself and acknowledge God. And once I did that, it was the next step. It just was logic to acknowledge Jesus Christ and accept him. Because I couldn't turn him down anymore. He had something to offer me that I had never even thought of before was a relationship with God, was love. And that's why I accepted Christ, was because of that love. It was something that He had already paid the price for. There was nothing that I had to do. It was free. All I had to do was accept it. It was either for me to accept or reject. And I couldn't reject it anymore. I had to accept Jesus Christ because I ran out of excuses. And I was running out of places to look for more goals like that. Now I've got something to work for. Not in a works thing, but just something to model my life after, which is Christ. And being a Christian is Christ-like. Okay, and after accepting Christ, I was no longer bound by the macho fireman role. I didn't have to go around driving a Porsche or, you know, a big four-wheel drive or anything like that. I could be me. I could say, yeah, I need love too. I can relate to people. I can say, I love you. I can go up and put my arms around them and say, let's pray, whatever like that. You go out in the world or you go in any other fire department and you won't see that, you know, that aren't Christians. It's every man for himself. And that's why, you know, I really enjoy being a fireman in Westminster. About one third of the fire department's Christians. And it's just kind of uncanny, just another coincidence, that we're all, almost all of us are on the same shift. You know, there are, you know, it's just how things work out, right? But, you know, so I had freedom. I wasn't bound to me anymore. My mainstay in life, my main goal wasn't me. It was God. And so I didn't care about what people thought about me. I didn't have to go out and party. I didn't have to be with, you know, these kind of people. I didn't have to do this really good. I can go ahead and be me. Okay, I was telling you a little bit about the difference in the shifts. Okay, all the Christians, almost all the Christians are on this one shift. And there's a really big difference. It starts off with just the atmosphere of love. Okay, Christ does not dwell in an atmosphere without love. And it's there. You know, we get together in the mornings and we pray. You know, we acknowledge God all day long. You know, He's on our lips. We don't have to worry about offending anybody since most of the people in this station, there's only one guy, one paramedic, who's not a Christian. And there's like eight or nine of us there that are. So, you know, we can be pretty free and pretty open and not worry about offending anybody. We try and yield to this man as a witness towards him, to what he wants. Just the other night when we were watching TV, you know, all the Christians, pretty much all the Christians were in this one room watching TV. And it was Peter and Paul that was on. And he wanted to watch something else. So most of the guys got up and went in the other room so he could watch what he wanted to do. You know, just as a witness for this man. I was on B shift. There was only a couple of Christians on this shift. And I wanted to get to C shift where all the Christians are, you know, so I could just reap some of the benefits. And I prayed about this for a year. This is after I spent my time in the bureau and I got put on the floor in the suppression end. And I prayed about it for a long time. You know, it's kind of neat, too, is that the Bible says, do not be unequally yoked with non-believers. That means, you know, don't hang around them. You don't have to be around them. And I was praying that, man, I wanted to be with the Christians. I really did. And it's like another thing, too, is that, you know, make a request, be made known unto God. Let Him know what you want. Go ahead and release His powers, what He can do in your life. Just go ahead. And, you know, it says, you ask not, you know, you have not because you ask not. Well, go ahead and ask. You know, just go ahead and open up and release this area to God so He can do His work. And like I say, I prayed for about a year and opportunity came up for me to come on to Sesha and then answered prayer. It was beautiful. It really was beautiful. Okay, the things that go on there on this shift that make it so different from anything else. Okay, the atmosphere of love. Everything just flows. It's peaceful. There's no strife, you know, no arguing, a little bit of pride in there sometimes, but, you know, on the volleyball courts, but that competition thing gets in there. A little bit of the old man coming up. But Okay, we pray in the mornings. Again, you know, we go on calls. We can pray on calls, pray with people, share tapes. And again, people wouldn't call us if they didn't need us. And just most of the time it's in a traumatic situation where something's happening. It's crucial. It's a critical time in their life. And they're open to a lot of things. And one of them, I believe, is our job is to share Jesus Christ with them. Just being open and being yielding to the Spirit. Because you're there to help them. They're looking for you for help. And when you come at them with Jesus Christ, it's like, wow, that's right. I really, there is something there. It is valid. And everybody needs it. Everybody needs it. Okay, sometimes we have Bible studies there. We all get together in a little group and have a little Bible study. Again, just time of worshiping the Lord. And it's a really unique job, as some of you know. That way you can't just, hey, go off and do your own thing. Other guys work on their cars and stuff like that. You know, we get together and have a little Bible study sometimes. It's really neat, too, is that being almost all Christians on this ship, now we have, say, grace at the table. Everybody grabs their hands, you know, and really thanks God for just what the job is, the meal, and just the whole day. And just like a little bit of heaven right here. You know, it's really beautiful. Okay, this difference is also functional. I really blew it the other night. I really blew it. Everybody rotates cooking. And I usually do okay. I'm not a super cook. My menu's pretty short, but I cook pizza. And I just fried this thing. I mean, it was burnt to a crisp, black on bottom and top. Nothing went right going through this ordeal of cooking. Nothing went right. It just, I mean, we had to go to the store twice because I forgot stuff. You know, and here it is, you know, 7:30, 8 o'clock, and we're still haven't eaten, you know. These guys are coming around looking, well, what's happening? You know, what's going on? And, oh, it's cooking, wait up. Anyway, I pull it out, and it just burnt to a crisp. We got 8 guys, and they're healthy eaters. Believe me, they're healthy eaters. And here's this, you know, these pizza, they're shrunk away from the edges, you know, it was just bad. And what I'm trying to get at the point is that, okay, I got into the flesh. I started going, I got a little bit upset. My pride was really damaged, so I just took off. I just went for a walk. You know, I didn't want to have anything to do with anybody. But the function, I want to talk about, it's functional, is that some of the guys came out and said, well, hey, Kirk, it's okay, and didn't rub me about it. You know, it didn't razz me. It was like, you know, it happens. You know, it's okay. And now that's neat because like they cared enough about me to come out and really say, "Don't worry about it. You know, we're gonna make it." And okay, that's just in the station. It also happens out on calls too. Is that you really can take it with you. You can take it out on calls. You know, because I'm kind of small, I can get into a lot of places where the big guys can't. Sometimes that's not good, too, I'll tell you. But there's one call that comes to mind that we went out on, and we pull up on this car accident. The cars must have been flipped because, you know, the top was down and everything's all bashed in. And I noticed this old faded fish sticker on the bumper. I mean, it was really faded. You just barely even make it out what it was. And because I was small, I was able to get in there. And I was the only one. There was a lot of things going around outside, you know, like making the scene safe, you know, gas leaks and all that. But it was like I was in here with this woman, and I was totally separate from anybody else that was around there on that day on that call. I crawled in there, and she's seizuring. She's just shaking like this, and she's got a glassy look in her eyes. There's nothing back there. I tell her I'm a fireman. I'm here to help her. No registration at all. She's somewhere else. She's not there. And the fish sticker came to mind as we rolled up. And I said, you know Jesus Christ, don't you? And immediately a warmth came in her eyes. And she just started warming up. I go, well, there's a lot of Christians here, and we're praying for you right now. And her seizuring stopped. By the time they got the car so we could get her out on a backboard, she was conscious. She was coherent. She had no longer seizures. She was talking to us. And the power that is in that name is phenomenal. It's like, you know, I just said it pretty much just a comforter, but I didn't realize myself what the power in that name could do. And just saying that name of Jesus Christ to her, she warmed up. I mean, it was like a light went on in her head and goes, yeah, that's right, I do know him, and he loves me. And we were praying for her, and it was really neat just to see this. Okay, she also, I believe that was a turning point in her life. I've never seen her since then. But just like in our lives too, it can happen that, you know, we can believe. There's a lot of believers. Oh yeah, I believe, you know, Jesus Christ is, and he was, and God is. But what, you know, what do we do with that belief? How far are we going to take it? Like in this instance about the lady in the car. You know, she could have just passed it on. Well, you know, I'm a believer. But she wasn't really relying. She wasn't tapped into the source. She hadn't committed herself. And then I believe in just saying the name, you know, kind of brought her back to her commitment, or brought her to a commitment at that point, where she believed enough to commit. It's like, I was on a call one time, and it was a chemical fire, and the smoke wasn't bad. You know, we got there, you know, there's a target assignment. That means there's like four engines and a truck and a paramedic unit, a lot of equipment there. And what had happened on this call was that two chemicals accidentally got mixed together, two powdered chemicals, and when they come in contact with water, they're very toxic. And I went in, you know, you'd walk into the scene, the fire was already out. I'd walk into the scene, and you could see clear across the room, 40 feet across the room, and you could still see the other side. Not much smoke at all. You wouldn't, you know, most guys figure, well, I'm not going to put on my air pack. It's nothing, you know, no big deal. But what had happened is that, again, the unknown, the dark side of it, is like, that was there. And I was relying on me. I was, you know, being proud. And I did figure, well, I don't have to. I can just go in and take care of the situation as is. But I didn't. I mean, I went ahead. That's exactly what I did. I went in there, not knowing, not relying on anything. Like, I believe that Scott Pack. We all know that Scott Packs, you know, have the air that we need to survive. We can manage in an untenable situation with those Scott Packs on. We can make it. You know, where if not, there's no way. Just like with Christ. And in the world without Christ, you're not going to make it. I mean, it's going to get you. Fortunately enough, this atmosphere wasn't as bad as, you know, two or three breaths and you're, you know, you cash it in. It wasn't that bad. But what had happened, there was one of the workers that was in this area. He was put in the hospital right after that call. And he lost his sight, and he was on a respirator. And, you know, he was hurting. This is what happens, you know, and if you don't have Christ, it's like you don't have eternal life. You're not going to live. After a while, I went out and did put my Scott Pack on because I was choking and my, you know, my throat was really raspy and I was coughing a lot. So I went back out there and put it on and went back in there and finished a job. I wasn't exposed as long as this man was, but it had gotten to me too. And that night, later on in the station, a few hours later, I went down. I passed out and knocked my head and had to go and get a few stitches, and they kept me in there for 3 days. And just a couple doors down, here this guy was blind and on a respirator, you know, because me, not relying, not really believing or not committing myself to using the Scott Pack, even though I know it would help me, even though I knew I wouldn't be hurt if I used it. But yet, I didn't do it. And it was pretty scary because I didn't know what would happen to me. You know, there was a couple chemicals, and you know, got mixed together, and nobody really knew what would happen. But I was in there for observation for concussion, and you know, here's this guy two doors down, and he's really hurting. So it was like, you know, I believed, I knew that this God can help me, but yet I didn't commit myself to it. Just like Jesus Christ. You know He can help you. You know that He can be your rock of salvation. You know that He's not going to move. He's not going to change. And after all, He did die for us. It's not like, you know, He didn't do anything for us. He did it all. We don't have to do anything. All we have to do is accept and believe. And eventually, about a week later, the guy did regain his sight, I guess, and he was taken off a respirator. You know, but the whole thing is that, you know, here it was at my disposal there. I was trained, trained in the use of it. Just like, you know, a lot of people, we've grown up in church and stuff like that. We know all about it, but do we really use it? Do we really make it effective in our life? Does Christ really manifest His self in our life? Are we that Christ-like person? Okay, not only that, but after accepting Christ and relying on Him, it's changed my main goals in life. I'm no longer living my life for me. It's for Jesus Christ. And, you know, this is one thing I just want to share with you is that, you know, go ahead and use it. Use it to your best advantage. Again, Christ has already done everything. It's up to us to make it what we want it to. You know, what's your relationship with Christ? Where's your walk? You know, look at where it's at. And is it what you really want it to be? Are you really going for it? Like, you know, Christ really wants you to go for it? You know, get on fire for the Lord and just really go for it. Because He's not going to let you down. It's not like, you know, we're relying on ourselves anymore. We're relying on Christ, and He's not going to let us down. We'll let ourselves down, but He's not. Go ahead and take that step of faith. Go ahead and make that commitment to Christ, and you won't get burned by the world nor by anything else. The world's there to rip you off, but Christ isn't. He said He'd come that you have life, and that more abundantly. So go ahead and make that commitment to Christ. And you know, my life has changed drastically since I had taken that step, and it's getting better all the time. You know, I'm finding out new things, learning new things, meeting new people, sharing Christ with new people. It makes a difference. It really does. People are looking at the Christians for some kind of, you know, encouragement. Well, guy, what's he got that I haven't got? They lock on to us. It's like they look at us for some kind of encouragement. They look at us as an example. And you guys that are Christians, you know, around the station, they're watching you like a hawk. You slip up, there he is, you know. Here comes this. Christians aren't perfect, they're just forgiven. Well, we know what that means, but they don't. You know, it's like we know we're forgiven for what happens. But that doesn't give us an opportunity to just go out and do whatever we please. All things are lawful, but not all things are profitable. We can, but that doesn't mean it's going to work. It's not mean it's going to be good for us. I just want to share with you today is that do things that are going to be helpful for your walk. You know, get yourself excited about the Lord. Get into it. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
What Kirk had to say was really true, and I think he pretty well said it all. Kirk is lucky. He received Christ not too long ago, and he's already grown in Christ. For some of us, it takes a long time for us to realize that what Jesus Christ said is true. In the world, you're going to have tribulation, and me, you're going to have peace. I spent a lot of years finding that out, and I was a Christian for many, many years, but by looking at me, you'd never known it. And I tried to do it my way, and I got pretty bruised up and pretty bloodied because of it. And finally, it began to sink in me what happened to Kirk here is that I began to abide in His Word like He says. And abiding in His Word is meaning consistently putting all your trust in Jesus Christ. Now, I think most of us here have probably taken that step in faith. Most of us have received Jesus Christ into our life. You had the faith to believe that He died on the cross for your sins and you asked Him to come into your life. He tells us, too, that if you trust in Him, He will give you joy and joy abundantly. And He tells us all these promises, all these wonderful things He wants to do for us. You trusted your entire life on Jesus Christ. You put your eternity in His hands. Now you're willing to believe Him the rest of the way. He will give you that joy, and He'll give you that peace. And He always comes through all the time, just like He does in Kirk's life here. It's like that Scott Airpack. You believe in it. Believe in Him, too. He's even more reliable than Scott Airpack, because He'll never fail. Okay? Never fail. And He won't run out of air. That's right. It really works. It really does. And if you're having difficulty in your life, that's what we're meeting here for today, for two reasons. One is to have fellowship and have a good time, and to encourage one another in Jesus Christ. And the second reason is to come here and demonstrate to people that Jesus Christ changes lives. And if you haven't received Jesus Christ, then we're going to, you know, always ask somebody that this is your opportunity to ask Christ into your life. And it works. It really does. And He will change your life, and He will give you that peace that He talks about. I can tell you, I tried it the hard way, and I finally tried it Jesus Christ's way, and it definitely does work. So let's close in prayer. Okay? Father, we thank You for this time that we've had together, Lord. We praise You for it. And Lord, while all the eyes are closed and the heads are bowed, Father, if there's anybody here, Father, who hasn't taken that step in faith, and today would like to trust Jesus Christ to come into their life and to experience eternal life, Father, we pray that right now that they just raise their hands up, Lord, just for You could see it, Father, or myself could see it. And He says, if You confess Me before men, I'll confess You before the Father. So, Father, is anybody here who would like to take a step in faith? We encourage them to do so now. Simply slip your hand up. Let us take a look. Father, we thank You for this time that we've had together. We pray, Lord, that these words that Kirk shared will be encouragement for those that are out here. We pray, Lord, that our lives will really reflect Jesus Christ. We pray, Father, that we'll never be a hindrance or a stumbling block to somebody else. We pray, Lord, that we can really begin to put our trust in You entirely. And, Lord, many people are saying that time is running out and that Your Son's going to come back pretty soon. And I believe that myself, Father. And I pray in these last days that are left that, Lord, that we can really become an example of what Jesus Christ has done. And that through that example, that many will come to know Your Son, Jesus Christ. So, Father, we praise You for this. We give You the glory for it. And we just commit this thing to You entirely. In Jesus' name, amen.